good to see everyone today. Especially good to see the visitors that we have with us. We have several of our members who are traveling because of the holiday season, apparently, and we have some that are traveling south and some are traveling north, and one just visiting from the community, and so we're very thankful for each and every one's presence here today. I might just make an announcement in regard to my father. We've been mentioning him in our prayers. We know he's been having some heart tests and so forth done here recently. He had his second treadmill stress test on Friday, and the doctor was present, and he said there's some things there that aren't right, and he's about concerned about, but there's nothing they can do any medication for or any procedures for, just something to monitor. He has been having every once in a while when he leans back in a recliner, every so often he'll have a pain and a shortness of breath. They mentioned that to the doctor, and so he's going to go in a couple of weeks, and they're going to install a chip. And when he has one of those episodes, he's supposed to hook up to some kind of recorder, and it'll record what's going on at that time. But basically, the doctor's saying the heart muscle's just not working exactly like it should. Indicated some electrical problems with the heart, but he said, go home and do whatever you want to do. Just don't be picking up any cars or anything like that. So it's been a while since he picked up a car. But so all in all, I think pretty good for 85 years old. He's doing pretty well, and we're thankful for that. Of course, this weekend we're celebrating our independence from Great Britain and the freedoms that we enjoy in our country. And I thought in regards to that, we might turn to John chapter 8 and verses 31 through verse 47. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. We've noticed several times, especially John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32, where Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed." There is such a thing as claiming to be a disciple of Christ and being a true disciple of Christ. There's a difference between the claim and doing. And Jesus said the difference is, if you abide in My word, if you live according to the word that I speak unto you, then you are My true disciples. And another benefit of abiding in the word, and you will know the truth. God's word is the source of truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I believe it was the unbelieving Jews who heard what was being said, and they are the ones who speak up and they key in on this word free. You say, well, wait a minute, we're free. And maybe people in our country and people in different countries today say, we're free, we have freedom. But Jesus is talking about true freedom, spiritual freedom, being free from our sin and the consequence of it. The truth shall make us free indeed. In verse 34, he says, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Well, does that include you and me? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, yes, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all made ourselves slaves of sin. But Jesus said that if we abide in the Word, we can be made free from the consequence of our sin and that separation from God. As we saw there in John 8 and verse 34, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, as we've mentioned, says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 6 of Romans in verse 16, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Now, it's interesting, I think it's important to mention here that slaves of the first century were not the same as the slaves of our history in this country, where people were forced into slavery. Most common slavery of Bible times was when someone would, of their own free will, make themselves a slave of someone to whom they were indebted because they didn't have the resources to pay their debt. And so that's why, if you lived in the first century and you were reading Romans chapter 6, you would associate with this quite readily. You're not forced to be a slave. You, of your own free will, make yourself a slave. And that's clearly what Paul is pointing out here as directed by the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? It's your choice. Who do you want to be enslaved to? Do you want to be enslaved to sin? Or do you want to be enslaved to righteousness? It's your choice. As we come back to our text in John chapter 8, we notice as we come down to verse 36, he says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We've all made ourselves slaves to sin. Can we of ourselves make ourselves free from sin? No. We cannot pay the price for our sin. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us the wages of sin is death, separation from God. Now, We can pay that if we want to, but we don't want to. We don't want to be separated from God in this life, and especially we don't want to be separated from God in eternity. Because God is the source of everything that is good. He is the source of life. He is the source of light. He is the source of joy and comfort and peace. And if we are separated from God, we are separated from all of those. In a place that the Bible describes to us as a place of outer darkness. A place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place that is described as a lake of fire and brimstone that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. But all who are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there, separated from God. It is Jesus who makes us free from our sin. It is by His death. He paid the price of death when there was no cause of death in Him. He had never sinned. But He died to pay our price. And more importantly, or just as importantly, He rose from the dead, showing His power over sin and over death, and showing us the victory that we can have in Him and the freedom that He has come to give us. So this morning we want to talk about being free indeed. Not just being living in a free country, but to be truly free. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Christ makes us free by His blood. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 28, Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus said, "This is my blood." As He was instituting the Lord's Supper that we participated in here just a few moments ago, as we do every first day of the week, Jesus said of the fruit of the vine, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins." Jesus shed His blood for the remission of our sins. Not His sins, because there was no sin in Him. But He shed His blood to pay the price of our sin. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, very similar to that, we find, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we have not applied the blood of Jesus Christ to our sins, we are still carrying the guilt and the consequence of that guilt of sin. Revelation 7 and verse 14. We've been noticing in our adult study here in the auditorium on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, we've been studying the book of Revelation. And we see here in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, the elder has said, Who are these ones that you see dressed in white robes?" And John responded, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Friend, let me ask you a question. Have you made the robe of your life white in the blood of the Lamb? Have you had your sins washed away in His blood so that you can participate in this genuine freedom from your sin? These were pictured as being victorious, as being in the presence of God, as being those who were in a heavenly place, in heavenly garments. Certainly, you want to be there. I want to be there. Christ makes us free by His Word. As we saw in John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32, "My Word will make you free, the truth will make you free," and the source of truth is His Word. Notice how Isaiah 61 and verse 1 foretold of this. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. You remember that Jesus read this passage and he said, this day this is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, this passage that Isaiah wrote was about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to preach good things, good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. It's in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 that Jesus said, this passage is about me. I came to set you free from the prison of sin, and most especially from that eternity in hell, that you not be held captive by your sin. It's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 that we read, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? Law of sin and death is the wages of sin is death. Well, what can set me free? I have sinned. What can set me free from that? I have transgressed the law. Therefore, I'm separated from God. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can set us free. So it's the law. It's that Word of God. It's the doctrine of Christ. It's abiding in the Word of God that can set us free from the bondage of our sin. Again, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 21, we read, the creation, that's us, itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The glorious liberty that the children of God know and participate in. Free from their sins. Free to look forward to an eternity in the presence of Almighty God in the heavenly hosts. And as we've said, that comes back to these words that we find here in John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32. Abide in my word. Be my true disciples. By abiding in my word, you will know the truth. And by knowing the truth, and not just knowing the truth, but certainly by doing the truth, by doing those things that the word teaches us to do, you will be free. Free indeed. Notice here he says, as he said in verse 36, therefore if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Well, if God's word has no place in us, then we're not going to be free, are we? Because that freedom is found in His Word and practicing His Word. Notice here also, as you drop down to verse 43, he says, you are not able to listen to my Word. Why is that? They don't understand His speech because they are not able to listen to my Word. In verse 45, he says, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. And that's where the problem is. If we are not of the truth, if we do not have a desire to hear the word of God's truth and do the word of God's truth, to turn from our sin, then we are not of the truth. And if we are not of the truth, we will not believe Him. And if we do not believe Him, we will not be able to abide in Him and His Word. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Friends, you and I need to be asking ourselves the question, Do I love to hear God's Word? And not just hear God's Word, but do I love to do God's Word when I hear it? Do I love to turn from my sins, to repent? Do I love to do the things of righteousness? Do I love to speak truth? Do I love my neighbor as myself? Do I love my enemy? Do I love to glorify God by knowing and doing His will in my life? He who is of God hears God's Word. If I don't love to hear God's Word, then I'm finished before I ever get started. I cannot be of God. I cannot be united with God, in fellowship with God, if I don't love to hear God's Word. He who is of God hears God's words. John chapter 3 and verses 19 through 21. This is the conclusion of the conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews who came to Jesus by night. And he said, I know that you're a teacher come from God because no one can do the miracles that you do unless God be with him. And so Jesus said, okay, you say I'm a teacher come from God. I'm going to teach you something. You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus, just like you and I, would say, how do you do that? How do you go into your mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, that which is born of spirit is spirit. That which is born of flesh and blood is flesh and blood. Talking about a spiritual rebirth. But the point that he was making to Nicodemus was, it's not about, do you need to understand that you must be born again? You must understand that you must do what I tell you to do. You know, when the wind is blowing, you don't sit down and say, well, where did this wind originate? Where's the center of this low pressure system or high pressure system, whichever direction it's coming from? Where does it originate in, and where's the last place that it's felt? You don't examine that. You just accept the fact that the wind is blowing. It says you need to accept the fact that when I tell you you must be born again, you must be born again. And that conversation continues here. You know, you're familiar with John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not a just, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a trusting and obedient belief. And so all of that conversation has been going on with Nicodemus. And here we come to the conclusion of the conversation. Jesus is speaking. He says, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Are you of the truth? Are you of the light? Do you hear the words? See, that's the test. Do you hear the words? Do you repent? Do you confess? Do you obey God? Do you love the light or do you love the darkness? Jesus said to those Jews, you're not able to believe. Why? What? Can't everybody believe? Everybody can believe. But you have to hear the Word. If you're not going to hear the Word, you're not going to believe. And you're not going to be truly free. So very similar to the fact that he who is of the light hears these words. Notice then, as it comes to the conclusion of John chapter 8 and now verse 47, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You are not of the light. You're not of the things of God. You don't love the things that God loves. And because of that, you will not hear His Word. And Jesus was the Word of God in the flesh. As John explained in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In verse 14 he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." Jesus, the Word of God, was standing right in front of these people who were telling them what they needed to do to be free indeed, to be truly free. And they were arguing with the Word of God. What a pitiful situation. And what a pitiful situation it is for us when people say, I want to be free. I want to be saved. And we take them to the Word of God and they say, well, I don't want to do that. Why? Because they're not of the light. Because they're not of God. They don't love the things of God and the things of the light. They want the benefits of salvation, but they want to participate in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We can't have it both ways. We need to prove ourselves to be of God. And as we've seen this morning, we know how to do that, don't we? We indeed need to trust and obey the Word of God. I need to hear it, believe it, trust it, and obey it. And when I do that, then I will be free indeed. In Romans chapter 6 and verses 16 through 18, as we noticed a little bit earlier, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves to be slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Yes, they knew that, didn't they? They knew that they could choose in this life who they wanted to be indebted to, be a slave to, and pay off their debt. But now the spiritual application is, what about this? What about your sin? Are you choosing to be a slave to sin, which results in separation from God? Or will you choose to be a slave of obedience that leads to righteousness? That mindset of, I will obey Him, and then following through and truly obeying Him results in us practicing righteousness in our life. And therefore, we will be delivered and free indeed. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free." Be free indeed. Perhaps you're here this morning and say, well, I've heard this. I hear what you're saying. I believe what you're saying. I see that Christ makes us free through His blood and through His Word. What does He tell me to do to be saved? Well, Jesus, a little bit earlier there in John chapter 8, said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That's good. As James said in James chapter 2, that's good. The devils also believe and tremble. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't serve Him. So the belief that Jesus was talking about was a serving, obedient faith, a repentant, obedient faith that results in righteousness. And so, in Luke chapter 13, and verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, "Except you repent, you will perish." Will you repent? Will you turn from your sins? Jesus said, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven." Will you confess before this audience today that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Jesus said He'll confess you before His Father. Jesus told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel, preach the good news of salvation, preach this fact that you can be set free from your sin. Preach it to everyone. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Will you be baptized for the remission of your sins today and rise to walk with Him in newness of life, serving Christ from this day forward, knowing that you're free, free indeed from your sins, and living with a valid hope of everlasting life, never having to doubt whether you're saved, because you know that you're abiding in the Word of God, and therefore you are free, free indeed. If you're subject to the invitation today, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.